Well, good morning again. If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to the book of Acts in chapter 2. And this summer, I was thinking about what we should look at. And as I prayed about that, I was thinking, you know, there's a lot in this world that has changed. And I thought it would be good to remind ourselves that even though we are in a changing world, and even though we are going to be in a changing ministry, and we don't even know what that looks like. It's been a challenging as our elders have tried to meet and try to forecast what is next year's ministry plan going to look like. And, you know, we're praying through it, and we're throwing darts on a board blindfolded. But there's some things that are guiding us. And that's what I want us to do this summer. It's been a while since we've reviewed who we are as Grace Baptist Church. And so this summer, we're going to look at these things that don't change about who we are as a Christian and who we are as a church. And we know that our vision is to love God, love others, and reach the world. And we have come up with what are known as the seven D's to be able to help us understand what that is. And so that's what we're going to look at over the next few weeks. And today we'll look at our first. Join with me as we look in Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided them among all, as anyone had need. And so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, we just come this morning and ask that you would teach us, that your spirit would help us to understand, Lord, in this changing world, Lord, that there are some anchors that we can hold our life to in your word that help us, give us direction. And no matter what ministry and no matter what the culture and no matter what is going on in our world and how it changes. And so, God, I pray today that we would understand what it means to be devoted, to be true worshipers of you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we see that the church here is made up of saved people. The church isn't made up of people who like good music, who like food, who like to come and vote on things, or maybe they like the building, maybe they like the children's ministry. That's not what the church is. We see here that verse 40, he says, those who are saved from this perverse generation, those who have come to the place where they have asked Jesus Christ to be their Savior. They understood that in and of themselves, they were under God's judgment, but they understood that Jesus Christ died for them, that he loved them, that while they were sinners, just like the rest of the world, they understood that Jesus came and died for their sin, and he died for everyone's sin, but they were willing to put their trust and their faith in him, and they believed in him. And so what was accredited to them was his righteousness, and in that, they were saved, they were changed. And these group of people who have experienced the salvation of Christ, they've placed their faith in him and now have this relationship, it says they are the church. And what we get here is, what is the church about here in Acts chapter 2? And we see that they're about the same thing that our vision statement is. They were about loving God, they were about loving others, and they were about reaching the world. But you know, sometimes we use the word love a lot, and we really don't understand what does that mean. We talk about, I love my wife, I love my children, I love you in Christ as a brother, I love my coworker, I love my dog, I love that candy bar, I love my favorite restaurant. All those times I used the word love, they had a different meaning. And so today what I want us to begin to look at is, what do we mean by loving God? And what I want us to see is that the beginning of that is found in verse 42, and we're talking about being devoted. Notice in verse 42 it says, and they continued steadfastly. They were devoted. You know, when I was in college, I would attend class, and there were some of the people there who were just auditing the college class. And so when you audit a college class, all you're doing is you're going there and you're listening to the instructor, you're hearing what they're saying, but there's a freedom, because when the teacher says, okay, now you need to do these assignments, and now you need to take this test, and now you have to write this paper, if you're just auditing the class, you can just get up and leave. You don't have to do the work. You're there just to get information, but you're not getting a grade, and so you can choose what you want to do and if you want to do it, or you can just do none of it and just listen and go, because you're not getting a grade. You're just going through the motions. You're just auditing. And sadly, I think in our Christian culture today that there's many who are just auditing the Christian life. They're just going through the motions. They choose what they want to do and what they don't want to do, and they're not really signed up. And I want us to understand today that if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you are saved, then you have made a commitment to Christ and his church to be fully devoted. And so today we're going to look at that. And the first thing I want us to look at is, what does that mean defined? And the word therefore devoted means to continue steadfastly. The word actually means to attach oneself to something, to be devoted, to be continued steadfastly, to persevere in, to hold fast, to persist obstinately. I love that. Even when there's obstacles in the way, you're still committed to holding on. The word we would probably use in our English language today is the word worship. It's the word that says, listen, this is my highest allegiance. This is what I am most committed to. This is what I am most devoted to in my life. And we know that there is only one who deserves our ultimate allegiance, and that is Jesus Christ. And so as a disciple, we make a commitment to never stop learning, to never stop growing, to never stop obtaining, to never stop serving. You know, when we look in the Bible, we see examples of this word. If you look in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, you see this word talking about continually praying. In Acts 6, 4, it says there that while the pastors and the elders were getting distracted with other things, they began to raise up deacons to take over some of the ministry. And in chapter 6, verse 4, it says, know that the elders must be devoted to prayer and to the ministry of word. This is what they must be committed to in their service to the church. In Acts 4, 2, you see this same word again, where it talks about Paul saying we need to be continually steadfast in praying, that we must not stop. This is not something that is an option. It's not something we do part-time, but it's something that we are committed to fully. A few weeks ago, I watched the movie Free Solo. Anybody ever seen that movie? You know, it's a crazy movie. I've been blessed to go to Yosemite once and see El Capitan, and it's a movie about a man named Alex Honnold, and he had this focus in life that he wanted to climb El Capitan, which is 3,000 feet, straight up. It's almost like 90 degrees. It's crazy. And he wanted to do it without ropes. And so it's called free solo. It's called free climbing, when you climb up there and there's nothing. And if you make one slip at 2,000 feet, guess what happens? You just fall and you die. And so it's an interesting documentary as they follow this guy, and he's got this girlfriend that he's met, and he just tells her, listen, I love you, but you're distracting me. And I just want you to understand that I'm more committed to doing this than I can be committed to you. He had a friend who was his film crew, and he told him, listen, you can do this and watch me, but I may just get up one morning and go do it and not tell you, because I want you to understand this is what my life focus is. This is what I want to do. This is what I am devoted to. And when you looked at his life, you didn't have to question what was his ultimate allegiance. You could see it by his thought, by his talk, by his words, by his action. He was fully devoted to climbing that mountain. And that's what he ended up doing. Folks, that's great if you can climb a mountain. Some of you might want to do that. But this is what happens when you get to the end of climbing a mountain. You just find out that there's other mountains that need to be climbed. But there is one journey that will actually satisfy the soul. And that's to say, I will be fully devoted to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when we give all and everything to that, that's when we understand full devotion and satisfaction. You know, this is what Jesus said. He said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And so as you look at your life today, you need to answer the question, what do you love most in this life? Do you love your spouse? Do you love your children? Do you love yourself? Because Jesus said, if you're my disciple, those cannot be above me. That the most important thing has to be me. We see examples of being devoted in the Bible. We see that in the life of Abraham. Abraham was given a promise, you're going to be one who has a great nation. But it took him 25 years to walk with God before God answered that promise. We see that with Moses. Moses had to go to Pharaoh 10 times before God actually delivered Israel as he went to him. We see that in the life of Enoch when it uses this great phrase, and he walked with God, and then he was taken up. And so we see that this idea of Christianity is not that we run a sprint for a season in our life, but it's a commitment that says, I am devoted to you, God. Well, now that we've looked at what devotion is, I want us to look at the second thing. How do we maintain devotion? Because I think that's where most of us struggle, isn't it? Not that we have a desire not to be devoted, but how do we actually do this? You know, the word there for disciple means to be disciplined. And so if you're going to be a disciple, you've made a decision that you're going to have godly disciplines in your life. And so our great example is Jesus, and we get this in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. And Hebrews chapter 12 says this, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so I see five things in this passage to help us to understand how we can maintain devotion. The first thing is we have to remove the distractions. And there's a lot of stuff in this world that comes up and can easily distract us. And I think for Christians, it's not usually the evil things of the world that get us. It's usually the good things. And we go after good things instead of going after the best things. And what we need to understand is that when we put anything ahead of Christ, it's sin. And so we need to come to the place where we are willing to remove the distractions and make sure that we are focused in our life. And that leads us to the second point. We have to be focused on what is to be done. And we see here that Jesus was focused. And in his life, as he set the example for us, he knew that he was going to have to go to the cross, but he was willing to do that for the joy that was set before him. He knew that if he went through this suffering, if he went through this, it was going to be okay, because in the end, it was going to restore us back to God and that we would be with him forever. And so it was worth it. And that's what we have to realize, that as we go through this life, it's not going to be easy being a Christian. And folks, I'm telling you, in America today, it's getting harder and harder. And it's probably going to get even more difficult. And we're going to find out who's playing games, and we're going to find out who's devoted. And the one who's devoted is going to be willing to persevere because they are focused on what needs to be done, and they're setting goals in their relationship with Christ. And then we see also that they have accountability and encouragement. Notice it says that there's a great cloud of witnesses there that are rooting them on. And we need to realize that we will never be able to finish this race all by ourselves. The Christian life was never intended for us to be able to just say, hey, I can do this and I don't need anybody else. In fact, in Ephesians, this is what is considered victory. Not if you make it to heaven, not if you make it to maturity, but the Bible says when we all cross the finish line together. And so if you want to look at what success is looking at everybody around you here and saying, we all did it. I have a responsibility for me to grow, but I also have a responsibility to you, to pray you for you, to encourage you, to teach you, for you to teach me, to disciple you, for you to disciple me. And success is when we all have grown to the maturity of Christ. And so we need each other. And the fourth thing I want you to see is we also have to have the right motivation. And we see here that Jesus had the right motivation, and it wasn't out of duty, it wasn't out of obligation, it was out of joy. And we need to be able to set the understanding that there is going to be joy in doing what is right. There is going to be joy if we will be devoted to God. And it doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to be easy. In fact, sometimes it's going to be really difficult. Sometimes there's going to be intense suffering that goes through it. But as you're going through it, you realize that there is joy when you are going through the tough things. I hate exercise. I don't know anybody else hates that, okay? But I'll tell you, every time I do it, I feel better. You know, I hate getting up early in the morning, coming to men's prayer breakfast on Tuesdays at 6:30. But every time I do it, man, I'm so glad that I was able to fellowship, and I leave strengthened and encouraged. And this is the thing, when we go into this and say, listen, I know there's going to be joy because I am going to be with Jesus, and you can't help but be with Jesus and not end up with joy in your life. So when we're fully devoted, we do it with this right motivation, not of guilt, because we want to. And then we see that we're going to need discipline. It's going to take effort. And the Bible says that the Holy Spirit gives us the spirit of self-control. And we're going to need that. And we need to understand that we can't look at everybody else and expect them to be able to help us to grow spiritually. I love it when people come to me and say, Pastor, I'm just not growing spiritually. I'm just not getting it. And I go to them, I say, well, are you reading your Bible every day? Nope. Are you praying? Nope. And I'm like, well, maybe it's not that the Sunday school teacher isn't doing their job, or the music team isn't leading right, or I'm not preaching right. Maybe it's the fact that you're not taking care of yourself. And if you're not in God's word, because who can get you to read God's word? Only who? You. Who can get you to pray? Only you. Who can get you to serve? Only you. So we have to make that decision to be disciplined. Notice what 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself should become disqualified. And I'll tell you, one of the most heartbreaking things that has happened to me over the past few years is to see people who I admired, people who I learned under, people who preached to me, and I received it. And then later on in life, they became disqualified. I think about one of my seminary professors who was a great godly man. They had the chair of at the school named after him. He was a well-known speaker, wrote many books, was well-known in Christianity and expert in his field. And then to find out that even though he talked to me and others in our class about safeguarding ourselves and our marriages, ended up having an affair and ruining his ministry and having to step down. And folks, it's hard to be able to preach to others the gospel of Christ if you're not living it yourself. People are watching your actions. People are watching your words. People are watching your life more than they're just listening to your sermon. And so we have to be careful that even though we're preaching the truth, we're living the truth, because we don't want to become disqualified. We have to be totally devoted. And we see here in this example here that Jesus was totally devoted to us, even to the place where he was willing to die on the cross. And the final thing I want us to look at tonight is, what are we to be devoted to? And I want us to make sure that we get this, and this can be confusing sometimes, so we need to get this centralized. The thing that we're devoted to is a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, we're going to do some activities, and we see four that are listed in this passage that help us in this relationship, but we're not going to get devoted to the activities. What we're going to be devoted to is a relationship, and allow these activities to help us to be able to achieve the goal. And so we see in verse 44, it says, now though all who believed were together and had all things in common. In verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayer. And so we see four things in verse 42 that they were devoted to. And the first thing we see is they were devoted to the word. They were devoted to what we would say is the doctrine here. And if you're going to be a Christian, you're going to have to make time to not only be able to read the Bible, but you're going to have to make time to study it and to study it with other Christians and to apply it to your life. Notice what 2 John 9 says, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And so we see here that abiding is another great word for being devoted to. It's to remain in. And there's so many Christians out there who they'll serve, they'll be Marthas, and they'll do things, But when it comes to just being in the presence of God and studying with others God's word, they run away. If we're going to be devoted Christians, devoted to Jesus Christ, we're going to make the word a priority. Secondly, we see here that there was also fellowship, it says in verse 42. That fellowship, the word there is koinonia. It means to share everything in common. We'll look more at this when we look at loving others and the words that go with that, demonstration and discipleship. But we have to understand that this word for being devoted means that I understand that I will not forsake the assembling of ourselves. There was a time where I met a guy in Kenya, and I had the great honor to be able to lead him to the Lord. And we were in a mountain region, and he's like, well, I want to see you before you go. And that was on a Tuesday when I led him to Christ, and it was Sunday when we were leaving. And we were having a giant service, and I told him where it was, not knowing anything about where I was and where the service was going to be, because the first time I'd been in Kenya. And we get there, and I'm looking for him, and he's not there. And I'm just sort of sad in my spirit, but we're there, and we have a great service. And at the end of that service, right before we're about to get on the bus and head back to the hotel, and then we were going to head back to Nairobi and fly, there I see Moses, and he's walking. And he goes, I'm sorry I'm late, but from my village to where it is, it took 3 hours to walk here. But I want you to know that there is no church in my village, and I want to become a pastor and trained so that I can see Jesus, who you led me to, brought to my village. Now, folks, to be able to get up and walk 3 hours just to come to a service that you didn't even get to attend, that is what we call what? Devotion. And then to be willing to give your life and say, hey, I'm willing to give up my job now, and I'm ready to become a pastor. And one of the greatest blessings I had was the next year I got to go to his village, and he had started a church, and they met under a tree like this, and they had about 20 people. And he was able to, and he was teaching them the gospel. And we were able to go around and do evangelism, and that Sunday he had 75 people that was a part of his church. Folks, let me tell you something. If we will give our lives and be fully devoted to God, just as the Bible says here, we will see people saved each and every single day. Even in America, even in this tough time. And we wonder sometimes, how come we're not seeing it? Because we don't have a church that's what? Fully devoted. We've got to be devoted to the word. We've got to be devoted to koinonia fellowship. But we also, it says, we need to be devoted to the breaking of bread, to gospel worship. It says in Acts 27, now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight. Man, wouldn't that be exciting if we could be like Paul today and I could just preach until midnight tonight? Maybe not that exciting, right? Maybe we're not ready to be fully devoted to that step yet, right? You know, sad, as he was preaching, if you read that story, somebody fell out the window. They fell asleep. But this is what we do see. We see that the church was committed to gathering together and to sing and to study and to remind themselves of the gospel. And this is the challenge, is that the world is trying to give us a different message all the way around. And so we have to be able to come together and remind ourselves what we're committed to. We're here to worship Jesus, and we understand the gospel that Jesus died and paid the penalty of our sins in full and rose again 3 days, and that if anyone will just receive this gift, they can have eternal life. Breaks my heart, but most recent studies show, and we know this, that the average church attendance now for most Christians is 2 times a month. Now look around today and then look at next week and see who's here. And on average, half of the people that are here today won't be here next week. And you say, look, hey, there's some people that were here last week that what? Aren't here what? This week. You see, we have to ask ourselves, what are we devoted to? And some of us are devoted to sports and our programs or vacations or getting away and all these other things. Folks, we need to be devoted to gospel worship and to the church. And that's why we've started a service on Thursday night, so there's no excuse. If you're going for that three-day weekend, amen, enjoy yourself. You need that sometimes, amen? But you can be here Thursday if you're not going to be here Sunday. We need to be devoted to being able to worship together. And then the final thing we see here in verse 42 is that they were devoted to prayer. It says in Colossians 4:2, it says, continue earnestly in prayer, being diligent in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, which I'm also in chains, that I may manifest as I ought to speak. And here's Paul saying, listen, there are times as a Christian, here's Paul, the apostle, saying, there's times that I'm scared and I'm not ready to share the gospel. So I need you to pray for me that I will be bold in sharing what I ought to. Have you ever needed that prayer in your life? We all do, don't we? And if Paul needed it, we need it. So we've got to remain steadfast in these things. And as we're praying and we're worshiping and we're connecting and knowing each other and we're studying God's word and we're doing this not to do those activities, we're not devoted to the activities, but as we do these activities, we experience Christ and we're devoted to that relationship. Then when we see a church that's full of worshiping and putting Christ first, then the result will be that each and every day there will be people who will be drawn. And Jesus said it like this, if they see the love that you have for one another, and they see the love that you have for me, then it's going to draw them to want to be a part of that. There was a man named Alvin Straight who lived a pretty quiet life, but he got in a fight with his brother. Didn't talk to him for 10 years. And he found out that his brother, who was 80 years old and Alvin was 73, that his brother had a stroke and wasn't going to be around much longer. And so he decided he was just going to let bygones be bygones and that he was going to go visit him. Challenge was that they lived 240 miles apart. And so he decided he was going to go and visit him, even though he didn't have a car because he didn't have a driver's license and he couldn't see very well. So he decided to get his riding lawnmower, which was a 1966 John Deere, and he loaded up a 10-foot trailer with gasoline and food and clothes and camping equipment, and he left at a maximum speed of 5 miles per hour. There were rainstorms, there were breakdowns, but after 6 weeks, he finally made it to his brother's house, and he was able to reconcile that relationship. Folks, to sit on a lawnmower and drive 6 weeks, that is what we would call what? Devotion. Why did he do that? For this one reason. It was worth it. Just to be able to see his brother again. Jesus came to this life and was spit upon and beaten and crucified. But he did it for one reason. Because when he looked, he said it was worth it to have you and me together. And we today recommit our lives and say, you know what? We're willing to give everything. Because Jesus, you are worth it. We will be devoted to you. Romans 12:11 says, let us not be lagging in diligence, but fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. And Galatians 6:9 says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Let's not lose heart. Let's be devoted. Let's pray.